Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 653, Free Guys.
Yeah. Jeepers, creepers.
Hey, we do need to get a new arm. Good lord.
Need to get some Cialis for that
thing. Yeah, a little Blue Chew, sponsored by Real Spoilers, sponsored by Blue Chew.
Well, when they offer the sponsorship.
Be sure and use your promo code, Joe. Yeah.
I'm afraid to take something, I might kill me.
Oh, we need to pause the show for a live read going over to Joe.
Yeah. I'll do it.
I'm used to it.
But that's just presumed. See, that's just funnier when we...
I do all sorts of live reads. Just not here.
Oh, the you're used to live reads.
I thought you were taking Blue Chew.
Yeah, that's what we meant. Yeah, no.
Now, it sounds too much like tobacco. I can't...
A chewable?
Yeah. I'm like, when you spit, is it blue? Honey?
Can you answer this question, please?
That's like old school Real Spoilers.
Yeah, that is.
Back before we were woke.
I know, yeah.
I'm reaching for the virtual maraca. It's not there.
Let's be honest, Dan doesn't listen to this. I just picture Dan...
probably doesn't even remember who we are.
That's probably true.
He is
the oldest, and he's just like, what? Real what? What's a podcast?
I saw him post the other day, and I felt like the beams of light should have shined down on Facebook when you see him pop up.
Anytime I see Dan post on Facebook, I was like, oh, there he is.
That's a name I haven't heard in a very long time.
It's like those color episodes of Andy Griffith where Don Knotts shows up.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, good. He's still alive. Excellent.
So I guess before we get into the movie, Free Guys.
Free Guy. That's the second one.
Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. You could also leave us a review. That's certainly helpful and encouraging. You can help the show out tremendously if you share an episode through your social media channels. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week: Ralph Tribble, Michael Tonkovic, Nick Charles, Chris Williams, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Librarian Cynthia, Brendan McGuckin.
That's his sister.
It's his sister. No, they're very close. They're twins. Ron Johnson, Travis Tewitt, Chris Valls, Ken Holtzhauser, Epic Film Guys, Invasion of the Remake, Geek
Community. Wait. Is that...
But that's the show.
Okay,
I just wanted to...
Not the guy.
This falls under the F. Brad Hyen umbrella.
I was just going to say, because if we don't point it out, he's going to get mad.
Well, if we don't point it out,
right? Emails that we're never going to check.
If we don't point it out, he might not realize it's a deliberate slight. And so we would hate for him to think that it was accidental happenstance.
Correct, correct.
No, right. We're choosing to slight you, Brad Hyam.
That's why we clarify it.
Yeah.
Because we have to
until
put
you
out
cut
there.
That hair,
yeah.
We are going to continue.
It's not paranoia. We are against you. So just making sure that you know that. So anyway, in order to make Brad Hyam feel even worse, I'm going to just back up and say it again. Epic Film Guys, which is a wonderful podcast everyone should listen to.
We've already talked about this. Brad, if you start a podcast and you share the show,
we'll ignore that too.
Yeah.
Have no fear.
Yes.
We will constantly ignore you.
Geek to Me Radio, Colby Mack, The Movie Journey Podcast, We Have a Hulk, Binge Movies, Chris Wilson, Ronnie Castle, Matt Neglia, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Mike and Oscar, and Feelin' Film. So thank you so much for sharing an episode. I know I'm doing this out of order, but we also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, and a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get bonus content and you help us out, and we secretly like you better, except it's not a secret.
And we have a new episode that Joe and I recorded, 1989's Blind Fury, starring Rutger Hauer. So if you want to listen to that episode, you subscribe to the Patreon. And then I also tried something new last week. I know people have been missing the box office numbers. Mm-hmm. So I actually did my own little, I called it Monday Morning Nickelback. And
timeout. Where did that come from?
Oh, I thought it was a fun name. You know, Monday Morning Quarterback, Nickelback is funny, Monday Morning Nickelback.
Okay.
A Nickelodeon, just where you saw the movies for a nickel.
That's a long one.
A douchebag.
That was
band.
My pitch for the name of the podcast was Monday Movie Quarterback.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, take that out. So don't put that on. Somebody else might steal that.
So, yeah, I remember we had talked about that at one point, and so I kind of put it all together.
I got you.
If I called it Monday Morning Quarterback, I mean, that's just how many things call themselves that. Like,
yeah.
That's not funny. So, anyway, I broke down the box office numbers, and I did have a few responses. I mean, obviously, we only have a small sample of Patreon members. Hopefully, that will grow. But, you know, people did seem to like it, and they liked the box office breakdown. Brent King sent a nice message on Patreon because he doesn't have Facebook, but he said that he really enjoyed the episode and gave some feedback on what was the movie we were talking about again? I can't even remember.
Last week?
Yeah, what was it again?
I don't know.
Suicide Squad.
There we go.
Suicide Squad, yeah.
It's a Suicide Squad.
Man, I got to retain information week to week. Once I watch another movie, last week goes away from my brain.
I've gotten to the point I can't even remember the movie we were sitting down and talking about. Like, I honestly was struggling to remember the name of the movie as I was doing the intro.
But I was talking about the box office a little, and, you know, you see all the people, you know, I won't mention some of the key buzzwords and names associated with this movement, but a lot of the people were like, see, Suicide Squad was a flop, blah, blah, blah. When I mentioned on the breakdown, I said, one, we're in a pandemic. I don't know if anyone recalls that, but all the box office numbers are terrible compared to what they should be.
Based on the rising cases, I'm going to say no, people don't.
Yeah, right. You ain't lying.
Yeah. And you'll remember as they're sliding that tube down your throat, though. Yeah.
And number two, it released day and date on HBO Max with theaters.
Yeah. I think you would do another Blue Chew ad.
I kind of.
Yeah. You
know. And some of the people are doubting that, like, oh, well, they wouldn't have seen it in theaters anyway. And it's like, well, Brent King's like, yeah, I absolutely would have seen it in theaters, but I watched it at home with my family multiple
Everybody
times.
Would have seen that in theaters.
And we loved it. So, yeah. You know, it's just ridiculous. So the haters on that movie saying it's a huge flop, it's like, okay, have you been watching and paying attention the last year? Movies are not making what they would.
Stop using your rational brain. Because, no. They're not paying attention. They catch something from We Got This Covered or Cosmic Book News, and it like says, oh, you know, Suicide Squad bombs, and they pay no attention to what is going on outside of their echo chamber.
Right, which is just there's a bigger problem at hand.
Yeah,
but
no joke.
It extends itself to every part of the internet, whether it's film or lifestyle.
Honestly,
politics,
it's so weird. I don't. Maybe it's just because I'm so tuned into the film side, but like I feel like I don't hear this with music. Right, like I don't hear this level of vitriol when who's a popular idol.
I don't know. You don't hear vitriol towards bands. Why don't you ask Nickelback about that?
I was gonna say also Monday Morning Nickelback. I was like, that's weird.
Now let's be clear, so we don't have to get our lawyers involved. This is Monday Morning Nickelback.
Space nickel, space back.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not Monday Morning Nickel.
Right. But like,
because that's what a movie used to cost the Nickelodeon, Joe.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
but like even. If I don't know, what if there's a current artist that puts something out that isn't as good as their first Or is, you know what I mean? Like, there's just none of, I don't see this as often with the exception of like TV and film.
You know why? Because you aren't anywhere near that involved could, that's with exact, modern music.
That's yeah. very true. That's
very, very
true.
I mean, do you listen to Ariana Grande?
No,
and
hell no.
Lil Nas X?
No.
And, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, I know that, who they are.
Right, but that's the people. So if you're going to hear people talking about that, they're going to say like, oh, this Taylor Swift is such a departure or whatever. Oh, her new album is this. You know what I mean?
Wasn't she a country star?
She was.
She was at first.
But the discussion is something you're so far
removed from. It is funny, though. Like, my oldest now sits in the... I let her sit in the front seat because I'm not a responsible parent. Oh. But
well,
she's
six now.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, right. They both sit on each other's laps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally
that way it triggers the airbag.
Correct.
And don't worry about it.
Save one of them.
Right, right.
Doesn't Joe's car have a small roof? Yeah, it doesn't matter because he has the sunroof. They just want the one on the shoulders pops
totally,
on the other.
Yeah, it's totally fine. But, like, I let her control the radio when she's sitting in the front seat.
Oh, boy.
So now it's just like, oh, boy. Sirius XM doesn't go past, like, channel 4 when she's in the front seat because she's like, the 50s. I'm not listening to that. And I was like, can you just...
You don't get to Howard 100?
No, I don't get to Howard 100.
Hey, no. Yeah.
But it is... I have heard more popular music now that she's in the front. And I'm just like, this is awful. If I hear a stupid Ed Sheeran song one more time, which I... Like, she would, like... It would go to channel 2, which is, like...
All right,
XM.
Grandpa Ed Sheeran.
I know.
Bad habits. Here's what I've heard some Ed Sheeran songs. Has he discovered melody yet?
Nope.
Like,
no.
It's just like him strumming, and like, I'm like, there's no, I don't hear any melody in his
remember,
song.
What was that movie that we saw with where the guys, they forget the Beatles?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. And they're like, let's go off and admit, you know, Ed Sheeran, he opens for Ed Sheeran and he has that one moment where he's like, well, you go in your room, I'll go in my room. And whoever comes out and writes the greatest song ever, blah, blah, blah. And of course, he just writes a Beatles song and Ed Sheeran's like, yeah, I suck. That was a really
that's a good little movie.
I was like, I like that
movie.
That's
a delightful
movie. Yeah, it's a cute
movie.
Little.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
But yeah, so like bad, whatever, the new Ed Sheeran song. Like she'd go to channel 2 and it's on. And I was like, can you go to like 4 or something? And she'd go to 4. It's on there. Like five, it's so like I just keep hearing the same song over and over and over. I was like, I go to 36 because that's much better. Lithium is where it's at.
Yeah. So subscribe to Patreon is our point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're at some point in that. So.
Yeah, we're on there.
So so anyway, there's all that.
This was fun, man. Like this was like a good old, you know, little throwback, just a fun summer extravaganza is kind of the best way I could describe it.
This is what I wanted for a summer movie. So this is the movie Jungle Cruise wanted to be.
I could see that.
I mean, obviously,
for sure.
They're a little bit different genres. My point is the big summer spectacle with the action and the comedy and the adventure. Like, this is the summer movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think this is great.
I do. We're almost a year past its original release date.
Yeah, they
July
delayed
2020,
it sometime
I
in the
think.
2020. Yeah.
So that does bring up an interesting question that I had, right?
What'd you think, Tom?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It
was fun. Big fun.
It's like a lot of movies in a blender. There's Truman Show. There's.
I didn't like
Tron.
The Lego movie part.
Yeah,
I mean, they
Lego
just
stuff,
the beginning is just so Lego movie where I'm like, why is it so derivative there? And I love Lego movie, but it's so blatant that it's just like the same gags.
Oddly,
it's kind of the same movie.
Oddly enough, Best Defense, the Eddie Murphy Dudley Moore movie.
What's that?
Until Eddie Murphy reached the later point of his career, it was kind of famous for being like the worst Eddie Murphy movie.
Oh.
I mean, so bad, like when he hosted SNL back in the day, he was like,
whoops.
He was like, sorry, that was really bad.
That's funny.
He's like, he talks about it. He's like, and he's like, they sent me the script for Best Defense. And I was like, why would you send me this script? This is trash. I would never do. Oh, how much money? I'll be in Best Defense.
And what was it about?
So it was Dudley Moore played a guy who was designing a tank, like a special crazy state-of-the-art tank. Meanwhile, Eddie Murphy is playing somebody, a soldier, like 2 years later, and who's driving that tank, fighting a battle in Iraq because they invaded Kuwait.
Yeah.
This is 84, just for the record. And basically, they're designing this, the company designing it wants to cut corners and save money, and Dudley Moore is trying to stop them from doing that.
And so Eddie Murphy, like, it's falling apart on him when he's in
right.
it.
Right, and so it's basically like, are the decisions they're making here going to affect what's going on?
That's a clever concept, though.
It's a horrible movie. It's a clever concept. But and part of the problem, too, is, like, Eddie Murphy, like, it's, like, never interacts with anybody in the movie.
He's just by himself in a tank.
I mean, he's like basically in a tank by himself. Wow. And he never meets the Dudley Moore character. It's so it's basically like they
doesn't even sit down at a coffee shop with him toward the end of the movie and have a chat with him.
No.
Like they don't share one coffee together.
No. They shot a Dudley Moore movie. They realized it was a big giant turd. Eddie Murphy was super hot. They threw a bunch of money at him to shoot 30 minutes of footage that they could insert into this movie.
Sounds like Superman 3.
And so it's really bad. But it just the way it toggles back and forth between these two worlds. And I think that's my complaint about this movie. Whenever they left Free City, I didn't like it. And I didn't
interesting.
I didn't like those two people. I didn't believe that they were coders. I didn't video game creators.
That's Steve from Stranger Things.
From Stranger Things.
That's Joe.
She's on Killing Eve.
Mm. Okay, guy was in Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
He was
so
like the friend in Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, so going through the cast. So you've got, of course, Ryan Reynolds, Jodie Comer. She's the one that is going to be in the new Ridley Scott movie with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Adam Driver.
Oh, she's the lead?
She's the lead character.
Oh, she's on Killing Eve, which I've never seen, but like is...
It gets great reviews,
it's
right?
a pretty hot yeah. show, yeah.
Utkarsh Ambudkar. He is in Freestyle Love Supreme. That's Lin-Manuel Miranda's freestyle
rap
group.
Well, that dude can go. Like, apparently that guy can sing.
Well, yeah, he was supposed to be Aaron Burr in Hamilton.
Oh, really?
He was supposed to be him, and he had an addiction problem, and he lost on that. Oof. Like, the second lead character in that play was this guy. He's very talented. But yeah, he was one of the improv groups in Pitch Perfect.
I mean, that play is so huge. Like, the guy who did Thomas Jefferson is, like, doing DoorDash commercials.
Oh, it is DoorDash.
Yeah.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah,
you're right.
But I mean, yeah, exactly.
No, like, I mean in a good way that like people are, that they're like, oh yeah, like people know this
that
guy.
That character from Hamilton should do a major commercial. And then Joe Keery is Steve in Stranger Things.
Yes.
He plays one of the programmers along with the Jodie Comer character. But yeah, you have a lot of, we didn't mention,
obviously,
John Krasinski,
Taika Waititi,
Dwayne Johnson, Hugh Jackman.
Where are all of those people?
They're all in the movie.
Where?
Voices. They voice the avatars of the human players.
Oh.
So you've got John Krasinski is the guy at the end of the movie that's all in the black silhouette that talks about what he used to do or whatever. Dwayne Johnson is one of the bank robber avatars that holds up Ryan Reynolds. Hugh Jackman is the guy that sells Jodie Comer the map in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, okay.
That has a mask on. That's
Hugh
Jackman.
Sure. That's fun.
You know, Ryan Reynolds, of course.
Well, it's funny. Spath and I were talking about it, and he was like, was Hugh Jackman in that movie? And I was like, I thought he was supposed to be, but.
And then the surprise to me, I mean, I didn't watch trailers or anything. I didn't know if it was advertised, but Channing Tatum, I didn't know he was going to be a player avatar in the movie. Like, that was great.
And Chris Evans?
That's the big spoiler, which I'm glad that wasn't spoiled. That was hilarious.
That was great.
Yeah.
But like, Channing Tatum, like when he opens the movie, I was like, is that Channing Tatum?
Right.
I thought the same
thing. Opening the movie.
And that's an extended cameo because then he comes back for another lengthy. And
he's
like,
in at least three or four.
Yeah.
Like he comes back several times.
I thought it was just the one, the opening scene and then the scene in the secret.
I saw him in different, whether maybe it was video clips of them like in the real world on the computer. They showed the Channing Tatum character doing stuff multiple times. Tina Fey was the mom. Of the
streamer. God, that's fantastic.
Vacuuming in the background, that was her voice. So Ryan Reynolds got a ton of people.
They loop the voice because that was did not appear to be her.
Well, they don't show the faces of any of these people, so yeah.
Yeah, you see her in profile walking by with the vacuum cleaner, but her face is definitely kind of like three quarters turned.
Yeah.
You know?
We talked about it before with The Rock, where he has kind of he's figured out that he has found that character, right? The character that works is the smart ass ass kicker.
Yeah.
And when he tries to deviate from that, sometimes it doesn't work, right? Like Jungle Cruise, for whatever reason, just didn't work. He tried to do something different, and it
but
just
he didn't,
didn't
do that because he lost all the charisma. There's no likability. He have to be just being a D-bag doesn't make you likable. Like,
no,
you have
I
to have that
right. But
that,
for whatever the choice,
I feel like I'm making it work.
The choices that he made in that movie did not work. Ryan Reynolds has also done the same thing where he has figured out this he's role. He's Deadpool. Yes, yeah.
that's
he's but he's always kind of done that, right? Like Van Wilder is the same.
He's
character.
Always been that kind of yeah. smarmy guy that yes. you still dig.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Well, know. Right. Van Wilder is a sleazebag.
He is
like
very
him,
much a sleazebag.
But you like him.
Absolutely.
He's just a likable.
He's got
person.
A heart of gold, but he's kind of a scummy guy.
Right. And so that's his thing. You're totally right. But now it's like. The Deadpool, whatever the Deadpool iteration of that is in every single movie.
It's the Van Wilder character, I think, turned up to 11.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the same thing.
Except here it's interesting because it's like he's doing, I mean, you know, it's the Ryan Reynolds shtick,
yes.
except he's not smarmy at all.
No. I want to point out.
He's 100% earnest
yes, the whole yeah. time.
I was not saying that's what I like about this portrayal. Yeah. This is not that.
Right. That's, yeah. But that's my point.
He's been doing that. This movie, what I think separates it and is one of his better performances, is how layered this character
yes.
is. His
yes.
performance is excellent. The things he's going through, this existential crisis
yeah.
of finding out. I mean, first of all, he's just a... Ryan Reynolds plays what's called an NPC. It's a non-playable character. In video games, they're the background characters. So when you're in a town and you see someone, you know, pushing the cart, you know, with the cart and horse, or someone dragging the laundry or shucking corn or whatever, you know, in some village, it's like those are just the background
you play
characters.
Some boring ass games.
Well, I'm thinking like the Witcher, you know, ones that take place
no,
with, like
right,
a village
right.
you go through. So he plays just a background character that works at a bank, but. Throughout the film, he starts to like become more human, and we find out that's thanks to the AI code that was written by the Jodie Comer and Joe Keery characters. They were two
Millie
developers.
And...
Let's look, Millie and Keys.
Keys
he just goes
yeah,
by
Millie
Keys.
And Keys.
So they were two indie developers who created this like paradise of a game where the AI flourished, and instead of going around and killing people, which this is also a commentary on modern
like
gaming.
Fortnite and Grand Theft Auto.
This is mainly
stuff.
Like Grand Theft Auto,
yeah.
but like people go into these worlds to cause destruction, and they're blowing up banks and they're stealing cars and killing people. And what I think is so smart about this film is the Ryan Reynolds character is who we follow, but everybody in the world is just used to it. Like they're so numb to it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is just like the bank robber comes in and they're smiling.
They just drop, you know,
and
the,
Lil Ray Howard.
Lil Ray drops his belt. They kind of like,
yeah.
One of my, I love that scene where they're just laying on the floor, like face to face and
kicking
got,
their legs,
kicking
like
their legs up, and they've got like their hands
like they're in a field of daisies.
Chin.
Yeah. Like
yes,
they're just,
yes.
But that's what I mean. That the commentary is so great because we're so numb and used to these kind of violence and games. And I'm not trying to make a commentary, anything like games are bad or bad influences.
No.
But my point is that's become the norm. And they wanted to create a game where you go in and the characters can grow and flourish, kind of like The Sims, where it's more just about, you know, building your character and their life and making things better.
The idea of the character in life, I think was what theirs was called, is that the AI or the NPCs would, you would basically, you wouldn't do anything with them. I guess you could play them, but they make reference that you would just watch them grow.
It was yeah. almost like Sims, only less interactive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's like it. I think that's an interesting concept because when the three of us are in three different generations of gaming, mm-hmm. right? But we would play, right? We're hands-on, you're playing the game, you're doing whatever.
I mean, I think Joe, are in the same generation of gaming.
Probably. Well, did you
what
have an NES?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was my first system.
Yeah, mine as well.
So, I mean, yeah, we're not
was
that
a
old.
Coleco, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean, like,
I remember when Pong was new.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that was, like, when somebody had Pong and
yeah.
you were just
oh,
like...
Dang.
Holy,
excuse me.
Oh, fancy pants. Yeah. Thought I was the fancy guy for being the first one with cable on the block, but like, this motherfucker, he's rocking Pong.
So it's interesting that now that I watch my daughter, who is also, she has a Switch and an iPad or whatever, but like her, she watches people play video games
yeah.
on YouTube. And that's what like all she does.
Right.
She'll play Fortnite, which I had to, I was like,
I used to think
that
was dumb. And you know, but then when you think about it, why is
sports.
It, why is it any dumber than watching somebody
it's
play
the same
baseball?
Thing. It's the same. And I agree with you as I felt the same way.
And if
like,
you think about when baseball first became popular as the national pastime, you were listening to people play
right.
baseball.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
and it was up to the announcer to like make it.
That's why
a
I
thing.
Can't give people trouble. Like, the kids
no.
that watch these people, because first of all, the people they're watching are some of the best in the world. These people are so good at what they do, and that takes talent. That takes practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
It takes a lot of, you know, practice. practice and years of honing your skills sounds a lot like sports, and that's what it is. So these are,
I mean, it's a moneymaker too, right? Like there, you can make
esports
so much money playing.
Gaming is esports now. So it is. And so back to the plot real quick, I just want to tie in. So these two developers wanted to make this virtual Oasis back in, like, let's say 2015, I think it was. And the idea ended up being bought by this big developer played by Taika Waititi.
God.
And
I don't understand this plot point. They're like, you bought this from us and you stole it.
Yeah, that's where I was a little confused.
Well,
I was like, how are you suing?
So that's the same as filming Superman 1 and paying them for Superman 1 and not paying them for Superman 2 yet using
the
footage.
Weren't, okay, so they weren't
getting...
They
bought the game. He had the rights to that game, but not the coders, like intellectual, like their code. Like they invented that code, and that's what made the game run, but they didn't actually own the code. They just owned that product.
Does it work
that way? Didn't I see this whole plot on Silicon Valley? Like, isn't this whole thing the open, like,
probably
the second season where they figure out
the compression
algorithm? They figure out middle out, and then they're just trying to, like,
I mean that's how this, I guess, contracts and stuff can be written in any point. But they bought that product and they didn't use that.
I mean,
product.
I didn't want to turn into corporate
sure.
law, but I'm just like, but if they bought your code, they own your
code. That's
kind
of what I thought. Like, if you buy the game, doesn't everything come along now?
Like, I would say you bought the rights to distribute the game and then you shelved it, but they didn't say that. They said you bought our code, and I'm like, well, then he can do whatever he wants.
But I think it's more like the rights to distribute it. Because,
but they didn't say that. Is my they said they always phrases he bought our code.
But another thing I love about this movie though is this movie is easily accessible to mainstream audiences, right? So they don't bog it down. So even though this does have a lot of gaming lingo and a lot of stuff with servers and all that, that if you're a fan of that stuff, you catch that. And I appreciated how accurate a lot of it was. But I also was like, you know what? Anybody can like this movie. You don't need to know anything.
This is a quibble, but I do wish there'd been a line of dialogue to kind of suss out what was going on. It's like, if he bought the code, he bought the code.
Right.
Right? Like, if somebody bought this podcast, they can fire us and and put in three other people. And okay, I'll go count my money.
But in this world and what they built, clearly he bought the
another one called Monday Morning Quarterback.
He bought the rights to put out this game. He didn't put out the game. He shelved it because he said this is stupid. No one's going to want to play this. But then he ended up stealing their code out of it that made the game run and repurposing it. So, like, here's the deal. I guess in the way this movie works is that, you know, this Grand Theft Auto type game, this Free City, is so huge and makes billions and billions of dollars. They should be entitled to, if they were developing that game, they'd be getting a bigger chunk. Like, this was like...
So basically, it's like, I can't take the insides of an iPhone, put it into my own case and say, here's my phone.
Right.
Yeah, but you bought an iPhone off the shelf. Like, that's not quite the same thing.
That's
like, that's where I was confused, because I'm like, I think of it as like, if a studio buys a screenplay,
right,
they own that screenplay
and they can do whatever they want with it.
They can do whatever they want with it. And so, like, you know, I remember hearing a story about a guy who wrote a screenplay about the Cuban Revolution, said, you know, in a romance set against the backdrop of the Cuban Revolution.
And that movie became Spy Kids.
That movie became Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
What? Wait, and seriously?
For real. And like, and
oh,
the
dang.
And the guy's like, it is not the movie, but they kept like retooling it.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden they were like, they wanted to make a Dirty Dancing sequel, and they were like, oh, well, we could insert dancing into this. And by the time it got done, it bore no relation, but the bones of that script was his movie. Yes. And so
I always find like that,
but he couldn't stop it.
He sold it. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I always, that's part of filmmaking that I find so interesting, is like the films that never got the films that have been, you know, there's scripts out there for, like, I don't know, Batman versus Godzilla, or, which is a real thing. I'm not making that up. That exists. Just the idea that there are all of these scripts out there that have been like retooled and fixed over.
Yeah.
I think the theory is that Ridley Scott, that Prometheus and Alien Covenant weren't alien movies. Like, they were just Ridley Scott movies. And he realized, if I put some aliens in there, they're going to give me money to make this movie. And he was just like, I'll throw aliens in there.
We talked about in our Grease 2 episode how they were going to make more Grease movies.
Yeah.
And then they didn't. And then they basically retooled the Grease 3 script and it became High School Musical.
Right.
So, I mean.
So I
think that's a cool little
So yeah. So to finish this part up so we can get past the first intro of the story here. So I guess what this is similar to is games use what they're called engines. And so they're the back end of like what does the lighting and the objects and all that. If you buy a game that you made with Unreal Engine 3, you then cannot just use that and put all new characters in it without paying a license to Unreal Engine. So
oh, I see what you're saying.
Just because the code is in there and you bought the game, there are proprietary code and engines that have to be licensed for your next game. You don't just get to buy one and then sell 1,000 games and like, well, I bought the first one. So I think that's what it's similar to.
I wish there'd been some reference to that. Like, again,
but it doesn't matter. It doesn't
need to be 10 minutes, but like two lines of dialogue would have answered that question for the people who cared.
But as a film critic, you have an inquisitive mind and you're always looking at plot points and stuff.
Sherlock Holmes.
But to 99% of the audience, as far as moving the story along, it's like that's the premise, that's the problem we have, and like hardly anyone's ever going to second guess it. And I mean,
they should have never said that he bought it.
Well, that's because to your point though, like that's what he's doing though, right? Because
the other question I had is, shouldn't this lady have a lot of money if she sold?
That's
her game?
What I thought. I mean, like, she does have a pretty sweet ass apartment.
And why is this guy not why is Keys not have a lot? Like they should be doing fine.
No, I guarantee they wouldn't. Here's the problem. So they had their little indie game that they wanted to get out there and they wanted the world to see. Neither of these characters clearly care about money at all, right? Like they want the
Man, Keys' house was pretty dope.
I don't think any of these characters are motivated by money.
His apartment was way nicer than her apartment, and that did not escape me.
Yes.
So Taika Waititi came in and said, I will release your game. I'm going to buy it. And I bet you he came in and bought it for pennies on the dollar and then never released it. So I think they are more altruistic and they took a very low amount of money for their little indie game just to get it out in the world and be a stepping stone to other things.
And I will also say at that point in your career, you don't have the leverage.
Right.
First game.
Right.
Yeah. I'll give you money and distribute this. They were indie developers. Like, sure, do it. And then so he shelves it. So that's the real problem at hand here that we kind of unveils itself as the movie goes on is that Free City, this huge MMORPG, which is like Grand Theft Auto, Elder Scrolls, those type of games, but this is a Grand Theft Auto clone for sure. It is this $1 billion franchise that everybody plays with all this destruction and everything. But Guy, this character, one day when he sees the Millie character in game, her avatar, something gets unlocked in him, and he realizes that he wants more than just an NPC, right? So,
well, he is always talking about the girl of his dreams and has like an awkward sense of humor and blah blah blah, and then he hears this Millie's character walking down the street singing a Mariah Carey pop song, and he's like, bing, and like that's how it all starts.
But the thing that we find out, which I think it's really clever, the way
it
reveals itself, is that it's not just like he's like, oh, she's hot. It's not that kind of thing. There's a deeper meaning in why she unlocks this in him. And so he goes from being just a bank teller. I like his name's Guy because he is just a generic, right?
He's
Guy, blue shirt Guy. That's his generic NPC name.
I love the line where he's like, what's that shirt? He's like, oh, it's a Henley.
Yeah. So it unlocks something in him. And then all of a sudden he wants more. He's like, why do we do the same thing over and over? You know, he says hi to his goldfish. He puts on his blue shirt. He goes to the bank. He gets robbed by all these countless players.
He gets a very specific coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, very specific coffee. Yeah. And one day he ends up stopping this bank robbery and he takes the sunglasses. And
does he do that or does he do the coffee thing first? Well, like, I think
the coffee thing.
He goes in the coffee shop and says, hey, can I get something else? And that NPC is just like,
this
freaks out.
This was hilarious. So the NPCs are all programmed. The whole point of NPCs, like we were talking about earlier, they do these remedial tasks. It's so that, you know, you don't show up to this village that's empty. If it's supposed to not be a ghost town, it's supposed to be a lived-in village, right? People doing stuff. So the players are programmed to give a coffee. The police are there in case something happens, or to try to stop the player that's committing a crime. You know, the paper boy, whatever. They're all just there, but they only are programmed to say and do the same things over and over. So Guy, once this is unlocked in him, the next day, he keeps dying and then wakes up in the morning. And he goes to the coffee shop and he orders his black coffee, two sugars, cream, whatever that he does every day. And then he goes, scratch that, I want a cappuccino.
Yeah.
And it, like, her head may have well have like popped off and springs came out of it.
There's a tank like turning around.
This is hilarious. So as soon as he's like, I want a cappuccino, she's like, what? No, you want a coffee, blah, blah, blah. And then the cops like start to stand up. I think maybe they grab their guns or something. And then this tank that's outside slowly turns towards him.
Yes.
And then he says, no, I meant the regular. And the tank slowly turns away from. I thought that was so freaking funny.
I will say there's
the
a lot of background stuff that happens in this movie that I thought was pretty slick.
Very
like
clever.
Cars are changing color behind, and like people are doing. But I thought that was very slick.
But so all the avatars in the game that are real world players that would be in it. And this is very much a gag we've seen in things like Wreck-It Ralph, right? So there are things like that we've seen this before, but like you have this big burly bank robber with a shotgun yelling at people, and it's a little girl playing the game, cursing, which is always funny, that juxtaposition.
Well, they would cut it, which I thought was the PG-13, right? So the little sister would be like, man, just spoke this mother, and they would
F word, but she says other like less words, but it's just blow his ass away or whatever, you know? So it's like little girls at the computer together. What I was saying was they all have sunglasses, so you can tell an NPC doesn't have sunglasses, the players do. So he stops a bank robbery one day. He just gets sick of it. Is it because he wants to chase her, or
he wants to chase her.
Is that the first time he gets the glasses?
Yes, because the deal is that sunglasses don't communicate with the people inside the game. So the theory is like, what if I get these sunglasses? And he shoots this guy in the chest, and the kid's like, oh no! But he grabs his sunglasses, puts them on, and it's the revelation of like all of
they live.
Yes, it's exactly like that scene when he's trying to get his buddy to wear the sunglasses. I was like, man, this is They Live. Like,
and that's a nice touch. And it's augmented reality, basically. Yes, so in the game, it's what you've seen. They're working on stuff like this in real life with Google Glass and things like that, where you put on these glasses and it can do searches. It can highlight things. You can get information instantly. But in the game world, it's like pumped up to 1,000.
Right.
Like,
there's the bank heist, and there's the health packs.
Letters glowing. All the objects you pick up, which I like. That was a nice touch, too. With he goes and he grabs a health that's floating there that he's never seen before without the glasses. Yeah. And he's like, I feel great. I feel like a new man. Like, he basically got an extra life or 100% health boost. It's really clever on the way that they implemented gaming terminology and the way it works into this real life situation. Like, I know it's in a game, but this filmed real life situation of like, what if a person could get these powers? But he ends up chasing her down, and he ends up getting hit by the train as she walks away.
And then wakes up, and this is where he just runs in, gets the glasses from somebody else. And
that was clever. Did you notice that every time it cut back to him on a different day, he had new pairs of glasses on? Because how would he get the glasses if he dies? Without showing you, he's stealing them from different players. That's why his glasses kept changing.
Oh, I noticed that they were changing. I thought it was because I noticed they got lighter, and so I thought it was just a...
Oh, as he leveled up, it changed?
I thought it was just a plot device so they didn't hide his eyes the whole movie.
No. But it's great.
They
because
are pretty
it's like,
dreamy.
Because it's like, how would he... You can't keep the glasses when you die because he reboots in his house without glasses. So I love they kept changing the frames of the glasses.
Yes.
It's just without... wasting time on him stealing a bunch of glasses. It's like, boom, it's a different...
What I also did enjoy about this is it's not... We don't just stay in Free City, right? Like, we've got the real world outside where this lawsuit is going on, and Millie is trying to get keys to join in the lawsuit to find, like, the IP that is somehow locked in this game.
Keys signed an NDA, which, so, like, basically, he can't... He works for the company. He works for this company that bought their game.
He's like a low level, though.
Yeah.
And that's where he doesn't want to go any higher because I guess they don't really explain why he won't go any higher.
I think he's just burnt by the fact that he created this great thing. He doesn't want to create a Grand Theft Auto shoot 'em up. He programmed for a higher purpose. Like, they show a flashback. The exposition, I think, is done really well in this movie. And one of the ways they drop it is by showing an interview from 2015 when they were selling the game. And it's just on and playing on the TV, you know, on YouTube or whatever when he goes back to his house. But they talk about how all their altruistic goals for this game and everything, and you see what happened when it got bought. Obviously, she went and was very frustrated and has been trying to pursue the company, and then he works as a tech support, a debugger
basically is what he's doing. So she's trying to do all that while in the meantime Guy inside the game has fallen in love with their machete girl or whatever the hell her name is.
Molotov girl.
I like all the names, and I also really like how this is a commentary on the toxic online gaming culture.
Yes.
They don't go super into it, but the way the people act and the way Guy sets them straight, right? Like, that's such a commentary on people that, you know, with voice chat and calling each other names and all this crap. And then, you know, you cut back and it's a little girl or some kid in his mom's basement.
Well, I think Guy starts telling a joke and
Well, right.
And Millie's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
We don't tell that joke.
Who told you that joke? He's like, I don't know, one of the guys at the bank.
Yeah, such a Ryan Reynolds R-rated thing,
yes.
But he doesn't actually finish the joke. Right.
So well, it wasn't even that it was R-rated. Is that it was like, he was like a homosexual and well, it was something else. Like, it was like a it was like a homosexual and a Jew. And
it's, no, but that's, he didn't, get like, he didn't get to finish it, but yeah. I think that it would have been an R-rated, super, like an offensive yes. joke. But
I mean, it was just, the premise is offensive, right?
Like,
yeah, you
haven't even gotten whoa, whoa, whoa. Anything yet.
Exactly.
Like,
so
I don't
so
need to hear the rest.
By right. cutting it off, he got to do his thing, but also keep the PG-13.
And I did kind of think this was a test for a PG-13 Deadpool, but I mean, we know that's not going to happen. Like, we know, I think Kevin Feige said we're going to do
the test
the
for PG-13
R.
Deadpool was Deadpool 2,
I guess
PG-13.
The PG-13 yeah. cut. Yeah, that's true. So they go to the secret stash house. It gets thwarted very quickly.
So Hugh Jackman voices this character that gives her a map. She's trying to like pay people and get tips on where the code is hidden that would help her win her lawsuit.
Yes.
And it is this stash house that's guarded by all these people. And we find out it's the
Channing Tatum
character.
Who's like the badass in Free City, like the most badass. In
so
Free
he's
City.
A he's like a streamer and he's live streaming much like the Twitch. You actually see a ton of these Twitch
are
streamers,
real
right?
People?
Those are real people. Oh, so
okay.
yeah. So
okay. they want the marketing muscle
for
of these
sure.
people
but
talking on their Twitch stream.
Again, like that's... You can try to make a movie, right? And you can have writers and people involved that have no idea what they're talking about. We've seen that in different movies where like they're trying to do something current and then won't listen to the people that understand the world.
Sure, sure, sure.
These people go, and to their credit, and we know Ryan Reynolds is a marketing genius with his Mint Mobile and his tequila and Deadpool doing the advertising for this movie. Like, he gets it. And so he goes and enlists real Twitch streamers for this movie. You have Dan TDM, Jacksepticeye, Ninja, Pokimane, oh, there's another one, but there's tons of these
it
real
feels
streamers.
Like you're speaking a different language.
Yeah,
but
I thought you had a stroke. I was
but it's
worried.
But I'm telling you what, in this theater, people were losing their minds.
Is that right?
Because kids watching the movie when they saw their favorite streamer, this movie's so smart for not
there
being
was
like
nobody in the screening. I was
oh, yeah, I went to a Saturday show of it.
Gotcha.
And oh my gosh, the people were just like when Ninja came up, they're like, oh, Ninja. And then some people obviously love Pokimane as their favorite streamer. They go, oh my god, it's Poki, you know. And like, that's really cool. And what they easily could have done is made a movie about video games and then had it look like some 10-year-old game they were emulating.
Sure,
right?
Sure,
like,
sure.
They actually clearly got people to write this movie that had a love for it. And I thought that the two programmers were actually really believable, because when I saw Steve from Stranger Things, Keys, talking about his game in that 2015 clip, he was saying a lot of stuff about code and all this, and I was like, he's a good actor, because that stuff he was saying was technically very accurate and also sounded like a foreign language to people that didn't know it.
Sure.
But he sounded like he believed in it. It was really cool how the way he talked about the game, I'm like, wow, this is just Joe Keery the actor, but he
he gets it. He gets it. So cool. I mean, just real quick, because he is in love with this avatar, she tells him, look man, you can't help me unless you level up. And he was like, how do I do that? And of course she's like, what are you, stupid? Like, what do you so
well, and she calls him a noob. She goes, you really are a noob. And
very
like, gaming terminology where she kind
of,
there's something endearing about him. She's like, all right, I'll tell you get to level 100
and
then
we'll
talk
about
it.
So
and
instead,
this is hilarious, the terror that he goes on,
right? Instead of doing bad stuff, he's stopping bank robberies. Yeah. He's helping this woman find her cats. He's doing all the good people, like the good stuff.
And the the things they do, again, for the gaming nerds, the stuff I really appreciate in this, when someone dies, little money floats above them.
Yeah.
And he gathers them and puts them in his bank account. That's Grand Theft Auto.
I do love that he was pining after these stupid looking shoes. And I guess one person's down in front of him. And he just happens to pick up the cash and he goes to check his ATM and he was like, oh.
So
and he finds
every
like
day
the,
he wants these shoes, but he has $173. And
right.
It's a $200 pair of shoes. He picks up this money and he has $3,000 in the bank. So he goes and gets them. Well, he doesn't realize that he's in a game, of course. He doesn't realize these objects have power ups.
Yeah.
So those shoes have super jump potential.
They have three jumps.
The later in the
that
game.
Plays into a thing later. Yeah. I will also say it looks pretty great. Like, this movie looks pretty fantastic.
The special effects in this movie are great.
Yeah. Except for the fake buff Ryan Reynolds at the end.
That was a little weird.
That was
like
creepy.
The face did not match up all the time.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if there are moments where I was like, they just didn't put a face on it.
It's
deep-faked.
Like, it's, you know,
which
it's,
makes
it's a
sense.
Real body.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought it was pretty good. But
it was
I,
fine, in the but I do agree that
I think
there
the
are
problem
moments.
Was that it looked like a video game, but when you're in the video game world, it didn't look like a video game, right?
Yeah.
It was,
right,
and so if they had made everything kind of had that that sheen when you were in the video game world, but since they didn't, it it was more...
Well, that dude was a massive individual.
Yeah.
That was another really smart move, though, now that you mention it. I really love the way that they didn't make this movie look like an anime, like Ready Player One, right? Ready Player One's a 90% animated movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I think it should have been eligible for animated movie. It had like five real life cutscenes or whatever. I'm being, you know, I'm not serious, but it really, the live action stuff is so minor. And this movie, I really like how they used... when you saw Ryan Reynolds in Free City, in like down on the ground with him, it was live action. And then when you would go back to the real world,
when you would see the people in the real world
on the
watching
screen,
the game,
it was all video game graphics.
Yeah.
And really good. Like the Ryan Reynolds looked like Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yes.
They did a good job, but you could tell it was a video game. And they recreated Channing Tatum. They did that with all the characters had that you saw on screens. They really recreated their CG video game look. And I thought that was smart to make it non-animated movie and make it feel like you were in the game, but also to portray like, hey, people aren't seeing a... Because you're like, well, no one has graphics that good to be live action.
Sure.
How could they be playing this real life looking so the people aren't actually seeing that? And it was a nice mixture there.
Yeah.
But the special effects of car chases
were pretty impressive.
Explosions were seamless. And I think also, we've talked about this before, when you create a world that is supposed to be a video game, specifically video games, but anything that's supposed to be in like a recreation, the special effects don't have to be photorealistic all the time,
right?
Because you go, oh, it's a video game,
right?
And it feels like a video game, so it's a little bit of a cheat in most cases.
A cheat code,
right?
Ooh, up, up, down, down.
That's, that's my only video game reference I'm going to make that's not based on Space Invaders or Dragon's Lair.
Yeah. But I don't mean that to like downplay because the special effects looked great. But even if something like
there,
moved a little weird,
when there
like,
was some wonkiness, you could chalk it up to being a video game, which is why when they had the buff Ryan Reynolds avatar at the end, it didn't work for me because it was too much in that direction. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So he goes on this tear where he, and then of course everybody's like, who is this guy? Like they can't figure out who he is. The Taika Waititi comes in. He's like, take him out of the game. Like, what are
Taika
you doing?
Taika Waititi, who clearly filmed for a day.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sorry. I hated
him
in
this movie. He was so over the top.
So bad.
I love Taika Waititi, but I did not
this
like
was
him either.
Bad.
I'm glad I'm not alone. I just, whatever he was doing, and I get that he was trying to be a douchey, whatever.
Totally.
But it didn't work from him for some
me
reason.
Me not like, it wasn't I didn't like the character. It's like, I didn't like
his
the
portrayal.
Performance.
I know.
Yeah. Like, I know I'm not supposed to like the character.
Did he have a stuffy nose, or was that his choice to be like a nasally, nerdy guy?
I wonder.
The whole time he had this, he talked like this.
Yeah.
But,
I wonder if that's how he kind of suppressed his accent.
I don't know, his accent was,
but
too,
it wasn't.
Though.
It didn't seem like as thick as I hear it in other things.
Okay,
and, I don't.
I don't know.
I agree. Kind of like I love The Rock, but I don't like his Jungle Cruise. Like it's nothing as Taika Waititi, and I think he's a genius. He's a brilliant comedian, but I don't think he was right for the role either.
He went for it.
He went for
and
it.
Sometimes when you go for it,
you get a Jack Sparrow.
You get a Jack Sparrow. Other times you go for it, you get a Tonto.
Or you get
a Mordecai.
There it is. Right. Or you get the guy from...
Or Dark Shadows.
Or Dark Shadows.
I was thinking of the guy that
or
was Hook.
We could do this a lot with Johnny
Or
Depp.
The guy in the Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah. Which guy?
Johnny Depp in the Kevin Smith movies.
Mordecai. Isn't that his name?
No.
And he's Guy LaFleur or something
with the
like
penis
that.
No, not Guy LaFleur. That's from Mallrats. The guy with the straw hat.
It was Guy something.
Yeah, but not Guy LaFleur.
Yeah.
LaPerrier.
I can't even think of it, but you know who we're talking about. Yeah.
So
I actually don't mind that character in those movies because the movies are ridiculous. That was just a joke.
Yeah. This is something.
Yeah.
So he's going through Free City and he's leveling up by doing good things. And of course, they want to get this guy out of the game. So. But they can't. They can't figure out what's going on. Finally,
the debuggers.
Finally, Keys figures it out. He's like, wait. Like he looks at his code, and his code is like off the charts.
So you can see can see all the players on the map, and NPCs don't register in their system because they're just background code, right? So when they're monitoring activity, they're not going to see them because there's thousands, tens of thousands. They don't, they're all over the map. And so anytime that they see Guy getting into this stuff, they're watching. They're like, who is this? And they think he's a hacker.
Right,
they think it's a hacker that has taken over because all the NPCs in the game They have like skins in the gaming term, the character model. The players can customize all this stuff, but you can't use the skin of an NPC.
Which is, I love that line. He's like, "What's going on?
Take off your skin."
He's like, "Why would I do that? Yeah. Like, I was born with it."
I like it. Keeps coming back. He's like, "Yeah, take care of my skin." It's really that was good.
So finally, he levels up to the point where he can fight alongside Millie, and they get in and they get the. They find this one thing, and then I think that finally, like, they reset the entire game, and everybody goes back.
So Joe Keery's character is getting more and more on board with Millie and what she's trying to do. And, you know, it's a little bit, I mean, this is a trope we see time and time again, but they're best friends, they're developers. In the interview, they set it up. They're like, "Are you two going to be a couple or anything like that?" They're
no.
Like, no. And like, clearly, Keys has feelings for Millie. It's just that trope of the guy that, you know, wants to be more than friends, and she doesn't realize it. She's oblivious to it. But more and more he helps her. And then when he really helps her to get into the safe house, which is like the last thing, she's like, "I just got to get in there." And the player, the Channing Tatum character, is off doing something else for 5 minutes. She's like, he's like, "I unlocked the door," but he eventually like records this big long diatribe that she cuts off early. But
of course,
you know, right at the right time, she gets what she needs and she turns it off. But like, the whole thing is him,
because these guys were having TV interviews and they never watched them in real time. They
never watched themselves on TV,
right?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's this old interview she's never.
No,
seen.
This isn't the interview. This is him. Like, I thought that was him recording something for her. Like,
oh, he did.
The message. Yeah. But the message, he just says, "Hey, you know, this is how." It's when, now this is a little later than the safe house, but moving forward, he's talking about when they rebooted this system that Joe is alluding to, how the code works. And he's like, you know, guy has a cycle. The NPCs have this cycle of things they do in daily life, but his is getting more complex.
Right.
And the code is going off in different directions. And so,
well, they show it, and it looks he's got like one line of code, and then there's a moment where like all of a sudden his code explodes.
It branches
into, like,
off
reds and blues and yellows. And
so he's trying
to evolve.
He's trying to explain to her. He's like, "You're right." Because the whole time with the NDA and them not talking to each other, he doesn't believe that the code's in the game. He's like, "I just want to do my job, whatever. That game is in the past." But once he sees this, he's like, "You're right. This is our code. It works." So the whole reason that Guy is doing this is because their original game code, it's allowing the AI, the NPCs to become their own AI and grow and develop life.
That's how Terminator starts.
This is a Skynet prequel.
It's very, very much Skynet.
So he says this to her. She's like, "I knew it. I got to go get this proof," or whatever she's doing at the time. And then so she shuts the video off. But later that video continues on.
Right.
And he says, "Well, I needed someone to... For this character, I was building the AI to be like, to want to meet the girl of his dreams, and who else better to model that after than the girl that I sit next to every day, all day?" But then later on, he elaborates, like, "And it's you," and blah, 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 and gives his feelings.
She can't figure out where he's like, "The girl I sit next to
every
day."
I know.
It's like,
they made it very clear that
just
me built the game.
but she cut it. Yeah, yeah. But she cut it off, though, where it's like not romantic, but he's like, "Oh, that's nice." Like, she just took it as, he modeled it after the person next to him, the only person. But later on, he's like, "Because I love you." You know,
So, yeah, just to speed this up.
I got a chub.
Yeah, right.
I don't need, you're my blue chew, baby.
You are.
Jeez, nice callback.
Millie realizes she has got to tell Guy the truth, that you're in a game. This is not like, I'm real, you're not real. This is all going to, because what they're going to do is they're going to shut this game down. Free City 2 is coming, and they're going to demolish Free City 1 and everything that comes along with it, including Guy and all of his friends and everybody in this game.
So all Taika Waititi cares about is people paying for the new game.
Right.
And it's supposed to be backwards compatible, where you could bring your old characters in, and that's not going to get done in time. So he tells his team, like, whatever, just pour it over all the new stuff. It doesn't matter, the old stuff. And then this is where Keys has problem with it, and his other team's like, "We promised, whatever." And he's like, I don't care. Yeah.
Right. So finally, you know, Guy has an existential crisis where he's just like, this, you know, he's kind of goes against the nice free guy, where he's just like, "You're wrong. And why don't you," you know, the scene where he's yelling at the lady about the cats. I was like, well, that's about as Ryan Reynolds as you're going to get in this.
But there's a cat lady in the Lego movie. There's a coffee guy.
Is there
a
cat lady in the Lego movie?
Yes. I don't get why they had to take, like, that's my one big complaint, and I know I mentioned it earlier, but there's so many things about his daily routine that are the same as the Lego movie.
Yeah.
They're blatant, and I really wish they could have gotten more creative. Now, they elaborate more with the coffee thing and free will and the coffee person's doing something for themselves, but still, like, why are so many parts of his daily routine involving coffee and cat ladies and waking up and saying hi to your fish? Like, Emmett did the same
all of the stuff,
right? So, anyway.
Yeah, so...
We should mention the Lil Ray moment I thought was really sweet.
I thought that was really good between the two of them. Really, that was a really good scene. And the scene between Ryan Reynolds or Guy and Millie where she kind of destroys his world and he has an emotional response to it. That those were both
There's some really emotional stuff, right? And this movie is supposed to be this big budget goofy thing.
That's what people, I think sometimes we forget about Ryan Reynolds is when he wants to go, like that dude can go.
He can act.
He can absolutely
That's
act.
Why I know exactly. He gets typecast in this stuff, but we've seen him act, and that's what I was saying earlier is I really appreciate the layered performance he gets to get. But that moment between him and Lil Ray, Lil Ray Howard plays his best friend, a security guard at the bank he works at. And he goes to him and he says, hey, man, this is all not real. I want to open your eyes. All this is fake. And he talks to him. He's like, hey, I'm just a guy trying to help his best friend.
That's a great
scene. He's like, what's not real about that? And I think that's a really poignant moment.
Oh, I was thinking
of
the scene where he wanted to put the glasses on. You mean the scene in the apartment?
No, before that. When he comes to him, in his apartment, his house, and okay, let's go. And he's like, Ryan Reynolds gives him a hypothetical. And he's like, okay, hypothetical. And he goes off in this whole thing. And he's like, that's not the point. Just listen. But Lil Ray tells him, he's like, what is not real about a person trying to console his best friend and make him feel better? And it was a really poignant moment. Yeah. And I think that this goes back to people saying, like, why would you watch someone play a video game, right? Like, that's not real. But then people sit in front of their couch and watch sports all day, right? What is not real about this? If you're experiencing something that gives you joy, that allows you to build friendships and hone your skills and all that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really deeper than just the surface level. This is a video game, because that applies to things where people tell people, oh, what you like is stupid, or why do you do that? It's like, no, to them, that is their thing. And I just thought that was a really beautiful moment, that it's so much deeper than just this video game situation, that people really need to step back, like, especially people online where they say, like, your opinion's wrong, that movie's stupid, you clearly are dumb, like that kind of criticism, because that's not healthy.
No.
And all this is opinion anyway. And so I really liked that moment, that even though they're in a video game, these characters with this AI, what Keys keeps calling like the first ever AI, and I'm like, what? How? Okay, let's slow your roll there. I don't know if they created the first AI, but
I think that they were trying to. I took that as them saying that it was becoming sentient, and you know, like,
but really they did it in the military. Like, I don't know if they really created the first, but anyway, in the game world, but these complex AI characters have become something more real, and just because they're in a game, like, they've created people that are free thinking. So it's also then goes into this Ex Machina. This is seriously, I know it sounds crazy, but this is the silly summer blockbuster, but they're really getting on the same level of discussion of, well, just because you created it now, if they have thoughts and can think for themselves, is it okay to just do whatever you want with these robots, because free, you know? So I liked that scene is touching, and also touched on that other stuff, more philosophical stuff.
Sure. So just, we speed through this. They figure out that the AI, or the original platform, is still in Free City.
This was really clever.
He scrubbed it past it.
But he scrubbed the view of it, and it's on the what's called the boundaries of games that you can go on, but he didn't scrub the reflection on Guy's blinds.
That's genius.
I like that, especially because, like, they keep showing you him playing with the blinds. It just gets, it is a nice, they hit it in plain sight.
You thought that he was just looking out on the town.
Right.
But that's a thing in gaming where you program these objects and the reflections. And I thought that was a really smart way to hide it in plain sight.
It also shows how dumb Taika Waititi really is, that they didn't scrub. Like, he's so careless. And hubris.
But it's
hubris. Yeah.
Why didn't he delete their whole island? No, he erased it from view and kept it there to antagonize the girl. It's his hubris.
Right.
And him being a jerk, basically. And it ended up just like all bad guys. You know, I'm going to explain to you my whole plot and walk away before you're dead. It's that. But it worked really well to that character. It was true to the Taika Waititi douche
so
character.
Taika Waititi's
playing the guy from Grandma's Boy. You've seen Grandma's
Boy? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's another movie where he works in a game developer, and the guy's on the Segway. Funny, skinny string bean guy.
He was for Dodgeball. So they end up kicking out Millie's character of the game altogether. But so Guy takes it upon himself. Keys has built them this bridge to get across to the thing. All of a sudden, Taika Waititi, and everybody's like into this game. Like they have figured it out. They're streaming this game live. Like Keys somehow tells the entire world that they're going to stream this game. Everybody's watching it. And Taika Waititi says, release the dude. And of course, here comes the updated version of Guy for Free City 2, which is this muscle bound jock idiot.
And
isn't fully developed yet, so he doesn't have full like vocabulary.
Yeah, he's like catchphrase.
He was like, no, that's good. Yeah.
I love this gag, though. It's such a simple gag, but it's like the Guy 2.0 is called Dude. Like,
yeah,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right,
Guy,
right.
Dude.
But he's got a blue shirt tattoo
on
his chest. On
him.
Yeah.
It's a really funny visual gag. And
so this is where my question comes in.
Yeah.
Is I wonder if this scene was retooled post buyout. There's no way that this scene gets into the movie pre-Fox buyout.
Yeah, no, Disney has owned.
So Disney produced this movie? Or was this
this is Fox is what you're saying.
Yes,
so
this is a Fox movie. So
this must have been a
reshoot.
Yeah.
So he's fighting the dude and he's losing and they're like, get up.
This was great.
And this was fantastic.
Guy puts on his glasses and in your glasses,
you
usually
get, like,
have
your heads up display. Yeah.
And you have your inventory. So he scrolls through
and
it.
You can't see it. He's moving so fast and he hits something. And then as the dude swings down, Ryan Reynolds, the guy has a shield
and it plays the Captain America
music. It plays the Avengers music.
Yeah.
And it pans around and he's got Captain America's shield.
And they do a quick cut
to Chris Evans going, holy God. And then cuts back. And then, you know,
he has a Hulk hand.
He
hits him with it.
Yeah.
Then he pulls out a lightsaber and the Star Wars music.
And everybody's
plays.
Like, is that a lightsaber?
And then he
like,
pulls. Oh, then he pulls out the gravity gun from Half-Life 2.
Is that what that was?
Then he pulls out the portal gun from Portal. I mean, he has a Mega Man blaster arm in one of the scenes.
Yeah.
The way that they actually used real property, because you know in movies usually it's just like, you know, Schmaff Life, or you know they're not using the real stuff.
Here's a red and blue shield without a star in
right.
the middle.
Snackman.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like that they used, much like Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph works because you're like, I know that game. I played that.
Right.
Sure.
Luckily, they own a lot of these properties.
Yeah.
But with the gaming ones, they actually got those licensed things in, and I think that's a really neat moment. And they also didn't overuse it. Right.
It was a quick thing.
All those Easter eggs were at the end, aside from like Mega Man and some of the little hidden ones, but the showdown, I'm glad the whole movie wasn't like, oh, we have lightsabers and oh, we have Marvel skins and all that. Like, it didn't become an overused thing. Like, let me just blast you with IP. Space Jam 2. And it really worked.
Ready Player One, I think, was already there.
But Ready Player, yeah, I feel like
Ready
Player One.
It was baked into the story, but
the book. And
with the exception of the Shining thing.
But you can do it well, and it's like, well, Ready Player One doesn't exist without IP.
Right, right.
And Space Jam was just like, hey, have you heard of Warner Brothers? We're Warner Brothers. Like, yeah.
So he ends up running across, and at this point, Taika Waititi.
Well, dude has him dead to rights.
Yeah.
And then he puts the glasses on dude, which is another nice reveal. Like, he didn't just use his objects to blow dude up.
Right.
He showed him all the shiny things.
He's just like running around grabbing stuff. Yeah.
It's funny.
So while all of this is going on, Taika Waititi is smashing the servers. Yeah. And so the free city is starting to be destroyed one thing at a time.
Which is such a movie, like, overdramatic way of just like, can you just turn the power off of those servers?
Right, to destroy these servers.
I love destroying them with an axe.
With an axe. So Guy is running across with Buddy, which is his friend.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where, like, he almost, like, dusts, like, Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
Like, he dusts away because the server has been destroyed.
I like the way they visualized it. Is it realistic? No. Like, things would usually shut down.
It's like pixelated.
Yeah, it wouldn't really do that. But
it's a nice
way to visualize
it.
Yeah.
So he runs and he ends up, just as everything was about to get shut down, he clears the boundary and everybody's watching and there's...
And Lil Ray, he has to say bye to him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Lil Ray dusts away.
Yeah. But it's a nice moment because, like, I'm fine. He's like,
this has been the best day of my life. Yeah.
Really touching stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I had tears in my eyes that moment. Seriously, like, that friendship was really well done.
They were good together.
They were.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see them in, like, something that's rated R.
And this is a movie where it's like, yeah, there's a romance, but it's a romance that would never work. Instead of somehow
I was
putting,
wondering how that was going to play out.
Instead of putting Ryan Reynolds' consciousness in some kind of body like they would in a generic movie or whatever, they just let it be, like, the friendship between the bros and the friendship with him and Millie.
Yeah, they maintained the internal logic instead of coming up with a plot device.
Let's get him out of the game.
So they can follow in love. It's like, but no
they didn't.
So Guy gets across the
barrier. They'll screw that up in the sequel, though.
Don't worry, they will.
Yeah.
Gets across the barrier and reveals that life or whatever it's called is really there, and it's a big
something like this is life.
Something like that.
Something about life. And life then, itself.
Like, no? Is that what it's called?
I think it's called life itself.
Oh, all right. This, of course, destroys Taika Waititi's entire empire because it comes out that he had stolen this or used this thing. I guess Millie comes to the agreement that you take this part, I'll take this part.
You know what, though? I think what is even the bigger lesson, though, is I don't think it would have destroyed his empire. I think that he would have had to give a few million dollars and like that would ruin his hubris. But at the end of the day, it's not going to destroy his company. She's not going to own his company because of it.
No.
And, you know, and at the end of the day, like you're about to say, it's like, you know, she doesn't want, it's not about the money. It's about the project. So she bargains. She says, just give me our game back and you can have all the future rights. And he's like, that's so stupid. Why would you do that? Why would you give up millions of dollars for some dumb game? And she's just like, it's not about the money, you know, and that's another nice lesson where it's just like it was never about the money. It was about not having your stuff stolen from you, like,
which I also call kind of
like,
bull on.
You know, take the money.
Yeah, it depends on how, if somebody's like, here's $1 billion, it's about
money. But that's the altruism again they built up from that 2015 interview segment. Like, I think the point is that artists, video game developers who are also artists, you know, they want their work out there and they weren't doing it for the money. So this character has that, like, I get it, take the money and do whatever, but if it meant she got her baby back and was able to share it with the world.
Yum. So. And which is kind of what happens is they relaunch This Is Life or whatever, and it's kind of got a bit of a Free City feel to it, but it's also got like this fantastical element, like vines up on buildings and dinosaurs and stuff.
It looks more of like there's a survival game called Ark, and there's like dinosaurs and dragons, and it's more like jungle and stuff like that. This is more of a utopia, right? So it's not about killing the dragons and slaying these creatures and taking them over like in those games. This is more about just walking around and taking in, you know, this dinosaur has evolved to live among these people and now they've have their own role in society. Like, it's about everybody, the people, the animals coexisting, and what kind of habitat can we create together.
And that's basically what they're doing.
There's like futuristic cars floating around. It's a cool looking concept. Yeah.
Since he rushed Free City 2, Taika Waititi's game is plummeting, and it's, you know, he's losing this lawsuit and all this. So his empire is crumbling.
I thought they should have had it end with him getting sued by Disney for copyright infringement.
Yeah.
For the things in the game.
For all the
for
things.
Putting
all
that would have been funny. Yeah.
So now I guess it's the three of them. It's Millie and Keys and the other guy. And they are working out of this apartment to try and, you know, their game is starting to take off big time and they're working really hard. And Keys kind of makes a move to Millie and then she does not pick up on it at all.
And then she sees the rest of that interview.
Right. And then, of course, she runs after him and they kiss in the rain and or not in the rain, but just like in the city. And that's how it ends. And we should say that, like, Guy tells her, like, inside the second game, he's like, go, what do you, of course you can't live here. What are you, stupid? Like, get out of here. And then that's where we get to them in the apartment, and that's how it ends.
And Lil Ray Howard comes back.
Lil Ray Howard does come back. Yes. And they're best friends. And
which, like,
when you see him
get erased, you're like, well, his code, he was an AI, so they surely have a backup somewhere.
You would hope.
You wouldn't just erase the character. Like, they're all in the game. They don't just delete
them. Like the juxtaposition of Keys and Millie meeting in the middle of the street and then Guy and Buddy.
I wish they had
edited
that so it toggled back and forth, because I had the same thought. I was like, because the stuff in the real world was really cheesy.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to kind of have it like poke fun of it in real time by having those two in the game.
I agree.
I also liked them having their own moment, though, because it was so nice. Again, that bromance between them was so just real.
It was a big, fun action. It didn't rewrite the book. It did some really smart things.
It was really,
really
clever.
Good,
really
good
smart
performances. And Sean Levy, we've talked about, has got a weird track record. Like, his director stuff is like all over the place. So, but it's, I mean, this was not an easy movie to get out. We said it's been delayed for a year. Like, it's been sitting there. We assume that the Captain America and lightsaber and Hulk hand were all reshoots post Disney buyout. I mean, that whole scene is all CG anyway, so it couldn't have been that hard to do. But it was good. It was fun. It was a good time at the movies.
Yeah, I loved it. That was great. If you're a gamer, you'll really appreciate this in the way like Wreck-It Ralph and much like that movie. You can appreciate it even if you aren't, because there's funny moments, nice moments, good lessons.
Yeah,
it's just a good movie.
I do, and that's the thing is, like, I think Ryan Reynolds is an underrated actor, and what I mean by that is he has kind of found himself in these Deadpool snarky, smarmy, smartass roles, but when he wants to do something, you know, and go, there's stuff that he's done. Like there's a movie called Buried that is really, he's really good in, and he's the only actor in the entire movie. It's just him in a coffin. Mm-hmm. There's some other stuff out there. I don't really, it's like, he kind of started doing like the badass action stuff.
Safe House, I thought he was good.
Smokin' Aces and Safe House are both kind of in
I like him
vein.
In that role where he can be more serious. You know, like, I mean, the smartest thing is funny in Deadpool, but there's only so much of that.
Yeah.
But Smokin' Aces and Safe House, he plays more of a serious action, like.
With like smartass content, you know, like moments, but
that
he's a
under-delivered smartass stuff. Yes. Where it's not yuck, yuck. It's like under your breath.
Right.
Clever.
Right. So I do appreciate that he is. He does not get the credit that he probably deserves all the time because he has found this character that works really well.
Good.
But he's
but
really
no, he's good.
Good.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joey. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoiler. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, if the wham overheats, the dip will malfunction.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's gonna ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.